Thanks, church. Yes, can confirm. My wife is the reason my daughter's so cute, so I will... Oh man, it's great to be with you all this morning. We've been, away at a couple of things and here in between, but it's good to be back. I said to Beck, I think we'll throw out the car keys. I don't want to go anywhere for a while, but no, it's so good to be back and an honor to share. And I want to jump right in this morning. I want to talk about our identity as sons and daughters with God as our Father. I want to talk a little bit about my own journey. And I'm really passionate about this because this impacts everything. This impacts how we love one another. It impacts how we raise our kids. It impacts how we love our spouses, how we interact with friends. It impacts our relationship with the Lord. Our identity as children of God is fundamental to everything. Can anyone say amen to that? So before we go any further, why don't we just pray? I really sense the Father here this morning. So can we just become aware of Him in the room? When we're praying about His presence being here, that is Him. It's not warm fuzzies, it's Him. So Lord, we just thank You that You are here. You, in all of Your fullness and all of Your glory. Lord, we just open our hearts to You this morning. No matter how our week has been, no matter how our morning is going, Lord, we just rest in Your shadow, the shadow of Shaddai. Oh, You're beautiful. You're glorious. You're wonderful. Oh, Lord, thank You. Thank You that You would come. Thank You that You're not a far-off God, but You are close. You're here with us. So, Lord, I just invite You to speak to every single one of our hearts this morning. Lord, we are hungry for more of You. We are desiring to meet with You afresh. So Lord, would You have Your way? Would You be glorified? Can you just take the next couple of seconds just to tell the Lord how much you love Him, how much you're thankful for Him? Even if you need to, just say, Lord, I open my heart to You this morning afresh. I lay down my worries, my cares. I'm ready to meet with You, Jesus. I love You, I love You, I love You. Thank You, Holy God. We bless Your name, we bless Your name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to start off in 2 Corinthians 6:18, and this is pretty much just the premise of what I want to talk around. And it says, 2 Corinthians 6:18, it says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. This is a divine relationship, isn't it? He is our Father. We are His sons, His daughters. And I think there's things that we go through in life that the enemy will try and use, or the enemy will even orchestrate to detach this relationship, to sever it, to tear it, for us to forget and not walk in that reality that He is our Father, we are His sons and daughters. And I think if we aren't careful, we can actually live from that place as orphans without a Heavenly Father. But that's not the truth, is it? God has grafted us in through Jesus Christ. He has grafted us into His family. And that's for each and every one of us. And I'm going to encourage you to turn to, we're just going to read a little bit more scripture as well. Romans 8, verse 14-17. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for that. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs? We've got hair. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Amen. We receive Christ. We become his children. Our spirit testifies of this with the Holy Spirit. And we're co-heirs with Christ. So this morning, simply, I just want to go after some orphan lies, some lies that, or some mindsets that we might find ourselves in. I want to reinstill some truths from the Father. And I'll just start off with a bit of my journey. But I really, really get the sense that the Lord has individual encounters for each and every one of us here this morning. So a bit of my journey, for those who don't know, I was brought up in a Christian home, grew up in Rocky. Anyone here from Rocky? 4701. Just me? Okay, cool. Jam, yeah. It's like crickets, jeez, wow. I have one older sister, a plot twist, that's me and my dad there chilling out. I absolutely loved my father. He loved the Lord. Most weekends we would be down the beach fishing. Every afternoon we'd be, on Saturday, church on Sunday. Thanks, Pastor. Every afternoon we'd be out in the backyard playing soccer. We'd be down at the beach together. We'd go on family holidays, go for walks in the park, and just absolutely adored my dad and my mom and my sister as well. So life was good. Life was peachy. I went to a Christian school in Rocky, and in 2007, I was in grade 8, and we got a phone call that kind of changed everything. Mum and Dad went out for a walk, and he complained he had a bit of chest pain, and we didn't think much of it. And I was sitting in class, and an admin lady came down, and she said, "Hey, can you come with me or Peely? You need to come up to the office. We've just got a phone call." And so it turns out my dad was on the Royal Flying Doctor Service, headed down to Brisbane. So Mum, myself, Sala, my sister, we packed up our bags. We're like, what the heck is going on? Jumped on a plane and found out Dad was diagnosed with leukemia. So we temporarily relocated our lives down to Brisbane. We're very thankful for the Leukemia Foundation. And they got a house for us. They put us into hospital schooling. It's actually where I met the beautiful Bonnie. And she was on a similar journey as well with leukemia in her family. And so it was such a crazy roller coaster, as you can imagine. Ups and downs. Dad was in and out of chemotherapy. He was getting radiation. He was put in induced comas and in ICU. I have one particular memory. I was really excited about the day. We had lots of fun at the hospital school, and Dad was out of his induced coma. He was in ICU. And I was just so excited to tell him about my day and ask him lots of questions. And because he had this tube down his mouth, he had a little, those little scribbly pads that kids have that you can write on it and you erase and keep writing. And that was how he would communicate with us while he was, couldn't talk. And I was asking him these questions, how are you, and all of these things. And I just distinctly remember him writing back to me, "I'm tired, I'm sorry." And even just to write on that pad was just too exhausting for him, and he had to keep resting. And we were down there for a number of months. He was getting through dialysis, all of the different things to try and treat this leukemia, holding on to faith, holding on to the Lord the whole time, and just kept his chin up high, which was so beautiful. We eventually came back to Rocky, and we're like, thank the Lord, we're in the clear. He was doing much better, but then he kind of went back downhill very, very quickly, ended up in palliative care in Rockhampton. And so we would go and visit him after school in the afternoons. And I remember there was one particular day on the 19th of October, we walked in to the hospital, and there was something different in the atmosphere in that room. And the staff had kind of, the nurses and doctors had kind of told my mum, hey, we don't think he's going to make it. Probably come in and just say your goodbyes. And yeah, so I was fortunate enough to be holding his hands as he transitioned between this life into eternity. I could really sense, even at that age, just 13, I could sense the presence of the Lord in that room. I didn't fully understand what was happening, and I could see him kind of talking. I believe he was talking to angels. I believe he was seeing things in the spiritual realm as he was getting pulled into eternity with the Father. And he, yeah, breathed his last breath as we were right by his side, as I was holding his hands. And yeah, so that was 2007. And that, as you can imagine, changed my life dramatically. I think I thought I was all good and just kind of kept bottling it down. That happened on the Friday. And I was back in school at the Monday. I was like, it's okay, I've cried a little bit, I'm okay. I was left with a father wound. And I want to say, an undealt with father wound gets infected. Gets infected with addictions, insecurities, striving, comparison, numbness. If we don't deal with this father wound, gets infected. And there's various scenarios that we can find ourselves in that can lead to these kind of father wounds. Perhaps your story is similar to me. You might have lost your father. Perhaps he was absent, he was around, but just not in relationship with you. Maybe he was abusive. I'm sure there's a myriad of stories and journeys that we go through. But all of these different scenarios can lead, if we're not if we don't deal with them, can lead to us having a father wound. And I think we all know this, that the role of fathers is so important, because how we experience our earthly fathers or father figures actually influences how we experience God the Father. And I'm sure some of you are familiar with John Eldridge. He has an incredible ministry around fatherhood and raising up men in Christ. And he speaks about this one question that everyone has. I mean, it's different for a guy and for a girl. For us guys, that question burning inside of us from a very young age is, do I have what it takes? I'm sure if you're a male in the room, you have asked yourself this time and time again, maybe deep down in your heart, do I have what it takes? And for the girls, it's, am I lovely? Am I worth pursuing? And this question can only be answered by our fathers. And I'm obviously not going to speak from the girls' experience because I'm a dude. So for us guys, if our fathers, if we don't hear that question validated, do I have what it takes? We will try and prove that we're a man by whatever means. And at the same time, we'll also shy away from situations that might expose that we aren't. I'm just going for it this morning. Can anyone identify with that? I know I have. So for myself, after my dad passed away, growing up in high school, I started looking for approval with girls. I was like, I can just flirt my way through high school and beyond, and just I'll find my validation that way. Like, I'm a man. I started, doing a music. I had a music career, kind of doing that full time, and looking back until I came to a point of surrendering that to the Lord. I know within me, part of that was also I was striving for approval from those around me. Like, I just had this desperation to be approved, finding validation through my music. I would even avoid certain environments or circumstances like working bees or anything handy or to do with tools and whatnot. My dad was more educational, academic. He was very creative as well. So I felt very vulnerable and exposed if, you know, some dudes are getting on the tools, and I would just do whatever I could to avoid those spaces, because that just pressed on that vulnerability in my heart. Oh, maybe I'm not a man. Maybe I don't have what it takes. So the culmination of this for me was getting into a very toxic, abusive relationship when I was 20, and I hit rock bottom. I'd crossed lines I didn't want to cross. I'd given part of myself away. I'd withdrawn myself from friends, from family. I was highly anxious. It's very skinny. I was ready to even give up my faith for this person if it meant keeping them happy and keeping the relationship together. I was a complete shell of myself because I was trying to find my identity in this other person instead of in the Lord. Hit rock bottom and kind of just was broken at the feet of Jesus, surrendered everything. And I heard him say, "Will you let me father you? Will you let me father you?" I think if we've grown up in church and whatnot and we hear the language of God our Father, our Heavenly Father, it's easier for us to say, maybe easier for us to relate to, you know, God our Father as a noun. That's his title. But what about the verb of him fathering us? Or let me put it this way, are we letting ourselves be a son? Are we letting ourselves be a daughter, a child of God, and actually go on that journey with the Lord? And I truly believe God can use whatever circumstance to get us to a place of realizing that he alone is all we need. Amen. Another important distinction to make is that he chose us. Let that sink in this morning. He chose us. We didn't choose him. He chose us. It says in John 14, verse 18, "I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." Isn't that beautiful? So this began a journey of healing, of letting him father me. It was a process of surrendering all of those broken pieces bit by bit that I'd kind of squished down and gone chin up, I'm all good. He silenced those lies with his truth. He revealed his deep and beautiful love to me and just layer by layer, by layer by layer, he loved and fathered me. I think we're always on a journey. I'm not like, yeah, all good now, mate. We're always on a journey, aren't we? So, I want to hit a couple of tells of an orphan spirit and some mindsets that we can find ourselves in. This, I can't take credit for this resource. This is a Bethel resource. So there's a lot more in this, but there'll be a few coming up on the screen. And just see if you can identify to any of these. This is a safe space for us to be vulnerable with. Amen. We're all family here. So this is a journey that we're going on between God, our Father, and ourselves. So react to feedback and feel rejection, whereas sons and daughters, they're open to feedback and invite growth opportunities. Orphans have a hypersensitivity to how they are seen by others. Sons and daughters are unmoved by how they are perceived by others. Orphans avoid emotional connection with others because of their fear of being hurt. Sons and daughters are able to be emotionally vulnerable while maintaining healthy boundaries. Might be jealous of the success of others. That I can say yes. When I was just talking about the whole music career, I remember I went down to Brisbane for this music industry event. I met 5 friends and they were all kind of starting out in their career the same as me. And, you know, 6-12 months later, I'm following their journeys on social media. They start just, their careers are just going great. They're on Triple J, they're touring, all of this stuff. Whereas mine started, it was just kind of the same. And I got really jealous of them rather than celebrating their success. Like, that is amazing, go you. I was like, what about me? Like, I'm so jealous. I was, you know, kind of talking to them in hopes that they could pull me along where they were going. There was jealousy and insecurity there that festered. The next one, working to earn God's love and favor through performance. I don't pray enough. I don't read the word enough. I don't do this or that. Rather knowing that you're accepted and always expect the Father's favor on your best and your worst days. I think comparison can lead and land in this space too, can't it? And I think, if I can go there as well, I think social media, if I'm honest, can be a huge culprit in this. I've had to ask myself plenty of times, am I posting this photo, video, whatever, just to hope what people will like say back to me and make me feel good? Or am I just, I'm just posting this because this was a fun memory? Our identity should be rooted in what the Father says about us. Amen. And we should use Jesus as our role model. Next one, driven by the need for people to validate them and prove their worth. I think that those two are quite similar. We should be driven by the Father's pleasure and free to fully express ourselves. Regularly viewing our lives through the past, as opposed to regularly viewing your life through the hope and anticipation of the future. I can definitely put my hand up for that one as well. Obviously getting raised with just a single mum, and we weren't very well off financially. And so I had lies about myself not being able to afford a house, get married, even lies about not being able to raise a child. Oh, you lost your dad when you're a teenager. How are you going to know how to be a dad? Lies. That's from the enemy, amen. What about seeing God as an angry master who has to be obeyed, rather than seeing God as a loving Father to be enjoyed? The Westminster Shorter Catechism says, man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. So these are some lies that the enemy might be trying to put in your heart, in your mind. And I want to dispel those with just three very simple truths straight from the Father. First one, He is proud of you. Not because of what you've done or what you haven't done, simply because you are His. He is so proud of you. He loves you so much. You might be like, yeah, this is really simple. I know this. No, let this sink in this morning. He loves you so much. He was thinking of each and every one of us as He hung on that cross, as He sent His Son to die for us. Amen. And He has never stopped pursuing you. He is constantly longing for connection with us, constantly. He's never left us. He'll never abandon us. He will always remain close. Perhaps the worship team can come and join me. You know, we need to be a people who are connected with the Father. It's not enough for us to stop at Jesus. When we come into relationship with the Lord, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. The Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to us. And what does Jesus do? He glorifies the Father. He takes us to the Father. So it's not enough for us to go, I come into right standing relationship with you, Jesus, thank you. But we need to step through Jesus, with Jesus, to the Father, embracing the full Christ, the full Trinity. In John 14, verse 6 to 11, it says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. I love Philip's response. Lord, show us the Father and it's sufficient for us. Jesus was a very patient man, wasn't he? Have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. So there's that invitation, amen. The Father revealed to us through Jesus. I want to take a second. We're going to do a bit of an activation together. And this is just going to be between you and Heavenly Father. So I want us to forget who's sitting around us. And just take a second. You know, we may have had various experiences, as I said, with our dad. Maybe he was abusive, maybe he passed away, maybe he was absent. Maybe he was great. Don't disclude yourself from this as well, because there's still a fresh invitation for you this morning from Heavenly Father. I believe God wants to reveal himself to you. There are fresh encounters with the Father every day, always fresh encounters. So perhaps if we can stand to our feet, if we can just stay aware of the Lord here in this room. And I want you to close your eyes this morning. And I want you to ask, Father, what lie am I believing about you today? You might get a sense, a picture, a memory. It might hurt to look at it. That's okay. You to renounce that lie, break partnership with it. Say, Lord, I don't partner with that lie. Now, still with every eye closed, all eyes on him. I want you to ask, Father, how do you see me today? What truth do you have for me? Father drawing you close today. I believe there's a fresh invitation to sonship, to daughtership to him. I just encourage you, take a step of faith this morning. I invite you to come down the front if you're feeling like, oh man, I can feel the Father drawing close to me. I can feel that he is, yeah, I can acknowledge I haven't been walking as a son or as a daughter, I've let some of those lies come in. I invite you to come out. I just feel like the Lord has something very beautiful and fresh for you this morning. This is a safe place. We're all family. This is a beautiful thing about the Lord is it doesn't matter our age. We're never precluded from being we're never excluded from being his children. We remain in that place. Sons and daughters. Thank you, Lord. What we're going to do is us down the front and us still in our seats as well. If you still feel him knocking on your heart, please come. I want us to break partnership with that orphan spirit. So just begin to pray out loud and just say, Father, I break partnership with the lie that I am an orphan, that I am not a son, not a daughter, not your child. Oh Lord, I can feel the love of the Father already. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I want us now to ask Jesus into the brokenness and the unhealed places of his heart. It says in the Word of God that he's near to the brokenhearted. Amen. So ask him in this morning. Ask him in those deep places. Might be the first time, it could be the 15th time. Ask him right in. Lord, I ask you into the broken pieces of my heart, the unsurrendered places, the places where the enemy has crept in, has deceived, has thwarted your truth. I thank you that you are near. You are near to the brokenhearted. Thank you, God. Next, I want us, this is each and every one of us. Let God love you. Let the Father love you. And wait there. It says, be still. Be still and know that I am God. Oh Lord, we open our hearts. Hey, thank you, Lord. Oh, your love, Jesus. Come and fill us this morning afresh with your love. Oh, we let you completely in. We let you completely in this morning. That's the love of the Father. That's the love of the Father right there. Don't shy away from it, lean in. Lean in, let him love you. Let him love you this morning. Jesus, Jesus, take us to the Father. Take us to the Father this morning. Seek in, let him in, let him in, let him in. Oh Lord. We're not going to rush this. We're not going to rush this because we need to let him. We need to let him fully in. Fully in. Fully in. God the Father. Beautiful. Glorious. Loving. Safe. You can trust him. Doesn't matter what you've gone through, you can trust him. I feel like God is just saying, I am trustworthy. I am safe. Oh, we let you in right to the depths of our heart. We relinquish control. We take our hands off the steering wheel of our hearts, of our lives this morning, where we might have tried to detour around or Lord, I can't let you in. I'm going to take control myself. We take our hands off. We let those walls come down. We thank you for that deep love that melts away. I want us all now as well to ask God, will you father me? Let's put that on our lips. Will you father me? It says he is a father to the fatherless. So he doesn't leave us here. He doesn't abandon us or forsake us. But his promise is that he will be with you, that he will walk beside you. So Lord, would you come and would you father each and every one of us today? Lord, would you distill the lies of the enemy and would you replace them with your truth? Would you replace them with your love? Father, when we are not sure, let our first response be, Abba, Father, I look to you. I let you in. I love you. Thank you, Lord, that you are going to reveal yourself time and time and time again, that we can just rest in our identity as children, as sons, as daughters, safe and kept in the Father's love. Oh, there's nothing like your love, Father. There is nothing like your love, Father. We make a conscious decision this morning to allow you to father us day in, day out, step by step by step. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.